W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
From the Darling New Media Studios,
this is the WTH Podcast.
Hey there, welcome into another episode of the WTH Podcast. Oh, hey.
This is the WT.
Right. Hey, guess what? The audio is working on Facebook. Hi, Facebookers.
What's going on?
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the WTH Podcast. With me, as always, Kareem and Jason. My name is Nate. Hello, and thanks for joining us. Thank you for shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab, using that Shop Target tab at the top of WTHpod.com. We do appreciate it. Got some announcements this week. We're going back to the roots of the show. We're not... It's Black History Month. We're going back to roots.
Your name is...
Sometimes you got to go back to where you came from.
Right? I believe it's the Sundance Channel where they are running Roots this month.
Mm. You mean they ran it all day at Super Bowl?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's a good day to run.
Yeah.
I woke up really early with the baby one morning, and I was like, well, what the hell can I watch? I'm like, do-do-do-do-do, because she's putzing around being a baby. And, oh God, what was that? Oh, Hogan's Heroes.
What?
Hogan's Heroes was on. And, so I watched a few episodes of that. I used to love Hogan's Heroes.
That make two of us.
And, my wife forgot, about Hogan's Heroes. And she had got up at one point and she asked me later in the day, she goes, so why were the Nazis there? And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, when you watch MASH, there aren't a bunch of North Koreans around. And I said, oh, yeah, because it was set in a German POW camp. That's why the Germans were there. And they were working. she goes, that's awful. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, why do I have to explain it to you? And I said, yeah, and don't forget, this was a mere 20 years after World War II ended.
Yeah.
And it was written by some Jewish gentleman, if I'm not mistaken.
Most likely. The interesting thing is Werner Klemperer, who played Colonel Klink, had to flee Germany. And he only agreed to be in the show if Colonel Klink never, ever, not once, came out on top. Mm, he said, I'll play the role, but only if the Nazis never come out on top in any of the episodes. Which, spoiler alert, they don't.
They don't?
No. Mm, no. I've spoiled Hogan's Heroes for you.
Hogan always outsmarts them.
Yeah, it's something. So, anyway, going back to our roots. So, what does that mean? Well, what that means is when we started this show, when I started the show with Larry and Mel back in 2011, it was once a week, and it was roughly an hour long. And... you know, we were very free form with what we did, and we would just let the conversation kind of go where it went. And lately we've been trying to be much more formatted with what we're doing and doing shorter episodes and doing three episodes a week. And like I was telling Jason before we started here, if you listened last week and the week before, yeah, Kareem was late. That's a weird change, ironically, yes. As we're in the upside down. No, we've had these things where Jason is sort of going off on a tangent on a story. And whether that was appropriate or not, we're not going to go there. But I ended up sort of having to guide him back and making fun of him. And, of course, making fun of Jason is what we do. But after the show, I didn't feel great because the show didn't feel like I wanted it to feel. Because I don't want to really truncate thoughts, because that's not what good podcasting is about. Good podcasting is about exploring thoughts and ideas and conflict and silliness and stupidity and whatever else. So I decided that we are going to go back to doing one episode a week. And it's going to be somewhere around an hour long, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit shorter, probably longer most weeks. And it's going to drop on Wednesdays.
Bam.
So we're not doing three episodes a week anymore. We're doing one. It's going to be longer. It's going to be good.
And that's what she said.
It's going, exactly. And it's still not going to be something you're probably going to want to listen to with your kids, because there will be some cussing.
Oh, yeah. Fucking shit, there will be fucking cocksucking cock munchers.
So there will be this. It's really funny, because the early episodes of the show, there were some things that we could say that aren't really appropriate to say today.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons. Mm. You know, whether we've become more, and I know you hate this word, woke. Whether we've become more woke, whether society has updated itself so things aren't appropriate, whatever it might be, there are things that were said on this podcast in 2011 that I wouldn't dream of saying today.
I would.
For a variety of reasons. So, anyway, that's what's happening. We're going back to our roots and doing a little bit of a different podcast. So the stories might be a little bit longer. We'll still make fun of each other because that's what we do. And you know, we just wanted to sort of give everybody a heads up that the change was happening and why. And, you can listen to it over the course of the week, split it up any way you like. And still figuring out kind of what segments are going to stay and what segments are going to go. Some won't be every week. Others will be. So we will still air grievances. We're always going to have Florida Corner. We're always going to end with small town news. Will Cooler Tool make a comeback? Not this week.
Mm.
But I can't say it won't. Just not this week. So a lot of things on the plate with kind of how we want to do stuff. So I thought that was a good time to do that. It's February. We went through Groundhog Day. We went through the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was a rough one for some of you.
You got Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah. By the way, get the hell out of here with that. No, I don't want to continue scanning McAfee. Hell out of here. Son of a bitch.
That's the way it works, bro.
It is. So Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Let's talk about it. We did our predictions last week. Green said he thought Kansas City might win. We are all rooting for the Niners. Let me just say this.
Say it.
Well, Kareem was right. The Chiefs did end up winning. So I think he put some bad juju out there. So I'm not okay with that.
Probably his fault.
A little bit of blame to be laid at your feet.
Mm-hmm.
I will say a few things. First of all, the officiating was dog shit.
Oh, okay.
Now, above all, the Niners could have and should have held on to the win. But I'm going to run through a few things that happened in the game.
Okay.
That were bullshit. Just before the end of the first half, George Kittle got called for offensive pass interference. That call was bullshit. That meant the Niners could not kick a field goal to end the first half. It was a bullshit call.
I don't know. I won $40, so.
With my squares.
It absolutely, totally was a bullshit call.
No, he got away with the first one. When he was this, he because he did it twice,
it was still a bullshit call.
I'm gonna let you finish your thoughts.
So that's the first one. The play where the Chiefs were behind in the fourth quarter, and Patrick Mahomes escaped and threw the long bomb down the field. There was so much holding by the Chiefs' offensive line. It was embarrassing. It was just fucking embarrassing that was not called. So that's two. Now the third one, and I know this is the rule, but the rule is bullshit. There was a pass interference call in the end zone against the Niners. And I know that's the rule that if you're playing defense, you have to turn around and look at the ball. But if I'm in front of the receiver and I have my back to the quarterback and I jump in the air and the ball hits me, I shouldn't be penalized. It's a bullshit rule. Roger fucking Goodell. I know it's the rule. It was called correctly. It's a bullshit rule. First and goal. Eat my ass.
You sound like a Steelers fan.
I saw it happen. I go, they're going to call that penalty. They're going to call the penalty. I knew they were going to call the penalty. I know it's the rule. It happened two fucking weeks ago. Same goddamn way. By the way, I'm not touching the receiver. Yeah. If I can jump in the air and have the ball hit me in the back, how is that my fault? It's a bullshit call.
If I were to close my eyes and lower your voice an octave or two, I would swear I was listening to Kareem talk about the Steelers right now.
Sounds like me when the Steelers play the Niners, doesn't it?
I'm serious. Oh man!
So there were.
I guess it's just the way football fans.
There was a shit call. There was a shit no call, and then there's a shitty rule that was called. Those three things combined to make sure that the Niners did not win. Now, there's plenty of blame to go along with the Niners because they had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And as Johnny Taylor Jr. pointed out correctly on Twitter, when they went up 20-10 and they all decided to pose in the back of the end zone looking like a bunch of dickweeds, he's like, I knew that was the moment the Niners were going to lose the Super Bowl. And yeah, like, look at us. Look what we just did. I'm like, assholes, stop it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thoughts on the Super Bowl, guys? Those are mine.
Do you want to go? Do you want me to go?
Oh, I mean, family was over. Most of my family is Raider fans, so they're rooting for Kansas City. I don't know.
Are you fucking kidding me? Dude. Raider fans are rooting for Kansas City? I didn't think I could be angrier than I am. Are you fucking high right now? What is wrong with these assholes? Are they excited that they moved to Vegas too?
They
like, ooh, good, we get to go to Vegas to see our team. Woo!
They just hate. They just hate
Jesus,
Niner fans.
Jesus, Raiders fans are stupid.
They hate Niner fans.
Oh, my God.
They hate Niner fans.
Oh, my God. Do you think people who are Seahawks fans are rooting for the Niners? Rams fans rooting for the Niners? Do you think they're Cardinal fans that are going, go Niners? No. Are you I'm so glad I didn't go to your house.
My cousin was wearing a hat with Andy Reid, like, over the Raiders
symbol.
Oh,
my God.
He's like, he asked everybody before he came over, anybody else want me to print one up for you? Yeah. No, it's funny because, like, their friends that are Niners fans, like, they did not go to their house and watch the Raiders the game because they just had to deal so many years with their friends that were Niners fans being dicks on a regular. Like,
oh, you mean the 80s? By the way,
the 2000s. Like, not even when they were great.
It's not my fault your team sucked ass for most of the past two decades.
Hey, listen, man.
That's not my fault.
I'm a Bay Area guy. I'm generally going to root for the A's or the Giants or the Niners or the Raiders in games.
How do you root for your – do you think
– I asked the same thing, bro.
Do you think the Jets fans were rooting for the fucking Patriots in the Super Bowl?
No, Buffalo fans
weren't. This is the stupidest goddamn thing I have ever heard.
Hey, just at Daniel.
Oh, my God.
At Daniel Burkett.
What is wrong with you?
Carlos Rodriguez also was rooting for the Kansas City. Like, you should have seen his Twitter thing up. He was making fun of all the Niners fans.
Oh, my God.
He was live tweeting.
Whatever. And I know people who are Raiders fans that were rooting for the Niners. So it's not all Raiders fans. Mm. But I am so happy I didn't go to your house because I would have just lost my mind.
I think it would have been hilarious.
Well, wasn't what just happened a little bit.
That was hilarious.
You wanted, yeah, we're going back to the fucking beginning, aren't we? When you started that story with my family was over at my house, I'm like, well, this is going to be boring. And much to my surprise, no.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
Kareem, your reaction?
So, I was really, really, really right.
You were.
I actually picked the score to be 34-24. So I was almost.
It was very close.
Real close. The Niners, what my prediction was, if the Chiefs could stop the Niners run game, that was my clue that they would win the game. And when the Niners came out with all of those sweeps and reverses,
what are you doing?
I said,
down their, they could run the ball down their fucking throats, and they're running these goddamn sweeps. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I was like, oh, they're not going to win. But my real prediction that they weren't going to win was when they didn't score any points before halftime. And
oh yeah, the last drive.
That last drive.
What, you know, the bullshit is called with Kittle, yeah.
Yeah, but they should have never got to the point where that was their last play of the half.
Right. There was some poor clock management.
When it was 1:45 left and they got the ball back. So
they didn't call timeout
right before
the punt.
But the first, so my first thought at the beginning of the game was they deferred to the second half. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, Shannon, he has the right idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's the in vogue thing to do now.
No, I mean, because you get the score. Hopefully you score at the end of the half.
Right.
And then you get the ball back.
Exactly.
So I'm like, okay, you got it with 1:45 left. You got the ball. You got a chance to score and you get the ball right back. Mm-hmm. So that should give you enough of a cushion to win this game, to close this game out. When he did not make an effort until they got to third down to score, I was like, you just lost the game.
Well, it was 10-3 at that point. And it was 10-3 at halftime. So, yeah, there was some really questionable coaching decisions.
Because I texted one of my friends who's a big Niners fan, we were texting, and I said, y'all just lost the game because you didn't score then.
Yeah.
And then that 3rd and 15, right before that play started, I texted and I said, this is for the game right here. And then they let him complete 3rd and 15.
It was bad times. I will say this. The 49ers did control Patrick Mahomes pretty well for most of the game.
Yeah. Actually, most of the game, I was like, until the fourth quarter, I was like, he's not ready for prime time. And a lot of the game to me was between the two coaches trying to figure out which one of them was going to not fuck it up the most. Because Andy Reid did what you said Andy Reid would do, which he started making some questionable play calls. And then I think Eric Bieniemy told him, run the fucking ball. And then that was when they were able to get.
Speaking of Andy Reid, did you see that? Have you seen like that video of him when
pass kick?
Where he was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He was gigantic.
Have you seen it?
I didn't.
Oh, you should look at it. He is.
We'll get to that.
He was huge.
He was like twice the size. Like I thought it was apparent on the field, but my cousin showed it to me. I was like, what are you showing me? Like, he's like, look at this. And I was like, isn't he huge? I was like, these are 12-year-olds. I was like, okay. And he's like, isn't that guy? I was like, wait, that the coach right there?
Yeah.
Like the adult?
He's like, do you have the full mustache for that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He was.
And they used to call him Big Dick Boy.
So anyway,
Big Dick Boy.
The halftime show was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Your boy, that not scoring at halftime, that was the game.
There were a lot of things that went wrong. So as much as I have an issue with the way it was officiated, the Niners had the game in their control and they blew it.
Yeah. Cause actually, the offsides that they didn't call. So I only had issues with two calls. One was, I think, was the offsides that they didn't call. They didn't call holding against anybody all day.
Like that Mahomes pass that went way down the field there. You could see it when, I think it was Nick Bosa who was being held. Like he was past the offensive lineman. It was just this arm around his shoulders with the hand. I'm like, are you kidding me?
But like I said, they didn't call it all. They weren't calling it against anybody.
It was awful.
They actually let them. That was probably the fewest penalties I've seen in a playoff game in a while.
Yeah, it was something.
A lot of people were getting things wrong yesterday.
It's true. Donald Trump tweeted congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs after the win.
Oh, of course he did.
It said, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs on a great game and a fantastic comeback under immense pressure. You represented the great state of Kansas and, in fact, the entire USA so very well. Our country is proud of you. Wrote that in all caps. Claire McCaskill, who's a former senator from Missouri, retweeted that saying, "It's Missouri, you stone cold idiot." Now, there is a Kansas City, Kansas,
yes,
part right. of the metro area. The Chiefs play in Kansas City, Missouri, and I think most of us know that. Now,
the good part of Kansas City is in Kansas City, Missouri, from what I've been told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's
you don't want to be in Kansas City, Kansas.
Now, maybe I'm wrong, but the first thought I had when I saw that was not to be like, oh, what a fucking moron, because
mm-hmm.
I already know that. My first thought was, what terrible, terrible thing did he do just before that tweet that no one will notice because he sent out that tweet?
I understand.
It's like, okay, well, what did he do? Which health regulation got rolled back just before that went out? By the way, something that sort of slipped under the radar at the end of last week was the travel ban was extended to, I think, six or eight new nations. And here's why it's important. And it may not be for the reason that you think. So the show 90 Day Fiancé, are you familiar?
Yeah.
Okay. So... there's Angela, who's from Georgia, and she's a larger white woman, and she's in love with Michael, who's from Nigeria, okay, and 20 years younger than her. And Michael loves Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Why? I don't know, but he does. And at one point on one of Angela's trips over, she brought a bunch of Donald Trump stuff, including a pair of Donald Trump boxer briefs where Donald Trump's basically his body shot from the waist up is over the dick covering portion of the boxer shorts.
Oh, God.
Okay. Now, Michael is trying to get the K-1 visa so he can come to the U.S. and marry Angela. And he was denied to begin with, and they didn't say why. And now this has come down. Michael is not going to get to come here and marry Angela.
Nope.
Our 90-day fiance is good. Now, she can go there, but she's got grandbabies and everything else in Georgia, and she has said, and I quote, "I'm an American. I should get to marry whoever I want right here in the U.S.
Yes.
Mm.
So it's very devastating news to fans of 90-day fiance that Michael is not going to be able to come to the United States. It's sad.
So it's sad. So the other part of that is Nigerians – have passed Asians as the what should be the premier immigrant because they have the highest rate of college. They're the least on assistance, so they have passed them as the as far as the immigrant that you want as far as the amount of income they earn and everything. So he kind of shot himself in the foot on including Nigeria in the if he wants a better.
Well, what do you want? Well,
qualified citizens.
Sure.
He wants whiter citizens, though, Kareem.
You know, he tried to say that, you know, he wanted people that would provide income.
Just whiter people.
So
if there's white Nigerians, they're welcome, I'm sure.
There are, like I said, there were multiple countries included in the travel ban, but the one takeaway that you need to have about this, above all else, is Michael is not going to get to come to the U.S. and marry Angela.
No.
Yep. Poor Michael.
Poor Michael. That's what he gets.
Right. And to put your hero, Donald Trump, has crushed your dream of coming to the U.S. and marrying
a white woman.
The woman.
You know what, though? I'm sure Trump has somebody on it right now. You know, it's going to get him in. This is the type of thing. That like I could see him getting the guy into being like I got these two people together, get married.
Oh my God!
I'm presiding over. Oh my God! Wedding.
Did you see the Trump ad during the Super Bowl?
Oh, the two of them.
Well, the one with was it Alice Williams?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Trump.
Left her ass in jail.
I'm like, wait a minute. That's only because Kanye and Kim K went and lobbied him.
Yeah.
That's literally the only reason. You got criminal justice reform done. He didn't get criminal justice reform done. He let a few people out of jail.
Dude, I spend most of the day every day listening to podcasts about wrongfully convicted people.
Uh-huh.
If you want to get somebody in jail, get one of them people out of jail. You could have left her ass in jail.
Anyway, that was the only Super Bowl ad that is of interest.
But the Jason Momoa one was hilarious.
That was creepy as fuck.
So, but why it's hilarious to me is because my girlfriend's best friend loves him.
Right.
So
here's the thing. How secure is Jason Momoa and who he is to do that commercial?
Oh. Dude. How good of a, yeah, he's totally.
Like when he's sitting on the couch playing that guitar type deal and he's looking into the camera, yeah. I lost it. It was freaking hilarious.
And they're at Disneyland, so I sent them the commercial in Disneyland.
You've ruined the happiest place on earth is what's happened. Some sad news today. Rush Limbaugh had an announcement on his radio show today on Monday. So take a listen.
It's a struggle for me because I had to inform my staff earlier today. I can't escape, even though people are telling me it's not the way to look at it. I can't help but feel that I'm letting everybody down with this. But the upshot is that I have been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. Diagnosis confirmed by two medical institutions back on January 20th. First realized something was wrong on my birthday weekend, January 12th. And I wish I didn't have to tell you this. And I thought about not telling anybody. I thought about trying to do this without anybody knowing, because I don't like making things about me, but there are going to be days that I'm not going to be able to be here because I'm undergoing treatment or I'm reacting to treatment. And I know that that would inspire all kinds of curiosity with people wondering what's going on. And the worst thing that can happen is when there is something going on and you try to hide it and cover it up, it's eventually going to leak, and then people are going to, why didn't you just say it? Why did you try to fool everybody? And it's not that I want to fool anybody. It's just that I don't want to burden anybody with it, and I haven't wanted to. But it is what it is. And you know me, I'm the mayor of Realville.
Okay. First of all, is Realville the next town over from Flavortown?
It's a struggle for me because I'm
sorry.
I don't know. Guy Fieri's too nice of a guy.
Windbag getting taken down by his lungs. God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, what was your reaction when you heard about it? When you first heard the initial reaction?
A windbag's getting taken down by his lungs. God has a sense of humor.
Jason?
That I hope this makes him realize all the damage he's done. Yeah, I don't know. I hope he gets back. I don't want to wish death on anybody. I mean, it's a horrible thing.
We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for me, it was like he's been a horrible person. So
it was interesting. So Walt Gray, who I'm friends with, I used to work with, he met Rush Limbaugh when he first came to town. And I don't think Rush had gone national at that point. I think he was just on KFBK at that point. And Walt's point was Rush Limbaugh is not the same person off the radio that he is on the radio. And that he's a good guy. When you incite the things that Rush Limbaugh has incited in people, and conducted yourself in the way that you have, and your claim is it's all just a show. We heard that again with
Alex Jones.
With Alex Jones. It's all a show. It was very real until he got sued, by his wife.
Yeah.
And denied custody of his kids. And then it was all a show. My first reaction was not, because I heard from people who were like, good. And I didn't have that same reaction because I'm never happy when people get news like this. I wasn't sad either. I was just very like, that's too bad.
Yeah.
That's it. Because as a human being, I'm not going to gleefully exclaim, you got lung cancer. But I'm certainly not going to feel bad because it happened. I don't know him. I'm not close to him, but I know the damage he's done in a variety of ways over the past, God, almost 30 years on national radio.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. He's partly responsible for that.
He's a big part of what's responsible.
He's a big part of what's responsible.
The demonization of Hillary Clinton was how he made his bread and butter in the 90s.
But like that, but they're in the process of tearing down our Constitution.
Yes, that's a big part of what's happening. Mm. And interestingly enough, from people who carried around a pocket Constitution. Yeah. How are you doing on the Very Stable Genius book? I'm listening to it.
I am at the military officer that was his chief of staff, Kelly.
Yes,
I mean that's a portion of it.
What's interesting? So the book, if you're thinking of reading it or listening to it, it's pretty dry. It's a chronological history of what happened. A lot of the things you would have heard about if you watched the news.
Yeah.
Some of them you haven't heard about or you haven't heard parts of. And it can be a frustrating read / listen.
Yeah.
Just saying. and I'm guessing if you're a Trump supporter, it's probably really infuriating. Because you're thinking that these people are making it all up. But these stories came from people around the president who were in the room, who saw and heard I'm just past the point where he called the military people at the Pentagon, losers and babies.
Yeah.
And that was really, a weird sort of, thing.
Yeah. As somebody who served and who's, I have a whole lot of family to serve. A lot of my friends out here are people that I know that served. And for somebody who won't do anything for anybody but himself, who's never put himself on the line for anything bigger than him, to berate.
I don't know about that. I mean, him going to the presidency, he's definitely losing out on lots of money that he could be making.
Nah, dude. If you listen,
I'm fucking around.
I know, but if you listen to this part of the book, I mean, listen or read this part of the book, man. I don't have any respect for those men who sat in there and let him talk about troops that way, because he wasn't just talking about those men in that room. He was talking about our military.
Right.
So for them to sit and let him talk about our military men and women that way, I don't have any more respect for them. Rex Tillerson went way up the meter for me because he's been the only person who's really stood up to this guy, and everybody else has kowtowed to him.
Well, and the interesting thing was the idea that, As Tillerson was looking at Mattis thinking, why don't you say something? And realizing that Mattis is such a Marine that he can't criticize the commander in chief because that would be, you know, completely antithetical to what you're taught.
Yeah. he's a person who would get fragged in combat.
So anyway, it's a tough listen. It really is. But it's like you're listening to a history book. Is really what you are. And you can sit and go, it's fake news, it's the Washington Post, it's the reporters for the Washington Post, all you like. That doesn't make it not true. And they acknowledge this, some of the stories, there might be a little bit of, but they vetted these stories through 2 and 3 sources.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, we heard from one person who might have an axe to grind. These were things, they got a story, and then they went to somebody else and said, hey, is this? And they go, yeah, that's what happened.
And they even put in, if somebody disagreed with what another person said, they even put in that other person's side of the story, too.
Yeah, it's it's referenced really, really well.
So that's not what happened, but it's like very similar to what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people didn't interpret it that way. They interpreted it as blah, 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 blah. But they acknowledged that it did, in fact, happen that way.
Yeah. So they would be like, oh, well, in my opinion, it happened this way. And they included that opinion. So it's not like it's a one-sided. I mean, the fucking dude is not. He's not qualified to be the president. He's not qualified to be a dog catcher, dude.
Well, he's over 35. He was born in the United States, and he's a citizen. So
he's qualified.
That's all you need for a qualification.
And now it's time for the airing of the f***ing grievances.
All right, let's start with you, Kareem. What's been bugging you?
So.
Oh, shit.
I got two similar things. So I was looking at Twitter, and me and then since Jason's never on Twitter, me and Nate usually send each other stories.
He's missing a lot.
All right, man, I'll get into Twitter. Amiable Mr. Wright.
So, but a lady posted a story about her being at, her daughter's gymnastics meet or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And another mom, in reference to her 5-year-old eclectic pants, check out those leggings. I guess I forgot my obnoxious sparkles at home. So somebody else tweeted, judging a 5-year-old, we internalize misogyny. Women, can we please agree not to comment on each other's appearance or clothing choices? If it makes her happy, we should be happy for her. And we all should be supporting the happiness of one another. I have no problem with the sentiment. But the fact that you had to put we internalize misogyny as the second thing that came out of that. And then that was my issue. If you can't take responsibility for your own actions, you can't trace that back to something that men did. Because me and my girlfriend had a conversation about this. And I almost got put out because I almost said something that would have got me put out.
Above and beyond all your white women comments.
Above and beyond of all my white men. Because she tried to justify this shit by saying, oh, you know, we're conditioned by men. Like, no. I've never been at any event where a man is commenting on anything that a 5-year-old has on other than to say, hey, she shouldn't be wearing that. That's it.
Right. And this photo does not qualify for that.
Yeah. And not because she has something sparkly on, it's something that the man thinks is not age appropriate.
Yeah.
So do not. Men do plenty of dumb, bad shit. Mm-hmm. Do not put your women petty bullshit on us because we have enough shit that we
have enough real misogyny.
Real misogyny to deal with. So that's the first part of that. And then the other part of that, other thing is, did you guys hear the Amber Heard Johnny Depp tapes?
No.
We should listen to the tapes before next week.
All right, next week we're going to break down Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
I'm going to leave it there. But that'll be my other part of this grievance next week.
Oh, okay. let me go ahead and note that. While I'm doing that, Jason, what's been bugging you?
Oh man, douchebaggery. So I watched some of the halftime show. I was running around, I was hosting, right? So I didn't get a whole lot of time to sit down, and when I did get to sit down, it was like hand off baby, go try to put the baby to sleep type of stuff. So, but I did see the halftime show. And I thought it was fine. Like, whatever. I like seeing rock and roll music and stuff like that. I don't know. I feel like it's been a while since there's been a really cool one that I've enjoyed. Yeah. Shakira seemed like she was cool. And then I saw J-Lo doing all her dancing, and she was doing the pole dancing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even think that it would be a thing. Like, I thought we were past, like that. Like, there's so much other, like, shitty stuff going on in the world. Like, and I also thought pole dancing was at a point to where it's, like, happening everywhere. Like, moms are doing it after school, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's a fitness, it's and you know, you go to Cirque du Soleil and you'll see pole dancing all day long. You know, I mean, like, right, I mean, like, it's a acrobatic thing now. And then I saw this douchebag, all these people, like, complaining about it and all, like, having their panties on a bunch about this shit, like it's some big fucking deal. And there's this guy that I used to be friends with, who I used to work with, this guy, and his name is Adam. I'll just say his first name. And Adam has been a douchebag for a while. Like, him and I used to get into things. Like, he had already been divorced once.
Whoa.
And no, listen. and like,
let's not condemn people for getting divorced.
No, but the thing is like, I have a problem when people, like, I like to look at the hypocrisy of the way people live or talk about the way that they live. And when you're living what's supposed to be a Christ-like life and, like, are a Christian and, like, Christian values and stuff like that, and you've already had, like, three divorces at this point, or you're on.
Here you go again. I don't know that that's I don't know that this is a road to go down here.
But at the same time, tout family values, don't believe in abortion and all that type of stuff, and hide behind Christ and stuff like that, and, like, say that that's your thing. I just don't like the hypocrisy in that. Especially when, like, at this point, I'm pretty sure that it's his wife that's supporting the family. You know what I mean? So that being said, like, now, he's making comments today about how, like, how it was, like, shameful and, like, shit like that on some, one of my friends, like, posts. I'm like, dude, like, A, first of all, like, you're a fucking douchebag. I didn't say that. Basically, I just made a comment of, like, you're bringing your own shit into this, like, of what you're seeing on a pole. Like, that's why it's that way. If I'd never been to a stripper club before and I saw this act, I would just think it was a dance act.
Hold on, a stripper club?
Strip club.
There you go.
Sorry. But see,
like, he didn't know.
Yeah.
Well played.
He is now in this.
Well played. Yeah. Never been to one of them stripper clubs, Chris. Yeah, never
been to one. I haven't been, like, I can count on two hands, if that. How many times? How many times I've been to a strip club?
This year.
This year.
The lumber yard in Iowa.
Yeah.
Why are you caucusing?
You know, I just, it's one of those things, like, I was like, so I pointed out rightly, like, you know, this, like, dude, like, it's an athlete. If you didn't look at, like, you're bringing your own shit into it. You're bringing your own sexualization of women into this situation by thinking of it as something more than what it is. She wasn't naked. You couldn't see boobs. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I was really disappointed.
I know. Me I was too. Hoping for, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, dude, what the fuck? Anyhow, like, he got lit up by a lot of other people too. But I at least got lots of love for what I had said, because it's ridiculous. So there's that douchebaggery that upset me. Another douchebaggery thing. A friend of my family that's been to my daughter, like, been to parties, been to Thanksgiving and stuff like that, allowed him to park in front of my house. All right. Now we live in Oak Park next to a corner market. All right. A bodega, which is awesome. It's one of the best things. But living next to there in close proximity means that we have lots of trash that we clean up, just the way it is. And it's just something that you have to accept living in that area. Right.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way it is. I'm not going to get upset about that shit. However, when somebody that I know, Anthony Mojica, parks their car in front of my house, and then when I come home later that night, because you went to the Lakers game on Saturday night, okay? When I come home and I see exactly where your car was parked, because first of all, you parked with your, like, pretty close to the edge of the block. So I knew exactly where you parked. When I pull in and I see two Dutch Brothers coffee cups, one being a 51, which I know is your order number, all right? Because my brother confirmed it. There's not a Dutch Brothers within 10 miles of my house, bro. None. And the only ones are, like, in Roseville and in Elk Grove. Like, that's, like, right? That's, like, the closest Dutch Brothers, like, have to be, like,
Davis.
There's one in off of Auburn Boulevard.
Yeah. So, okay.
But like, it's not close to your house.
Nowhere close near my house.
No.
You had to be, and he comes from Oroville, which there's Dutch Brothers all the way from that trip to here.
Yeah, they
in
are.
In between. And a lot of them in between here. So, dude, bro, why would you do that to me? Like, just like top dollar douchebaggery. Top dog, like that took it to another level. Because it's one thing to have to clean trash of other people, but like a friend, like a family friend, and my brother's like, he might have had too many beers and shouldn't have been driving. I'm like,
oh, that makes it better.
What the fuck? Yeah,
that's way better.
He was probably oblivious to it, Jason. I'm like, anyhow, Anthony, we gotta have a talk, bro.
All right, I'm gonna keep mine quick. The DaVinci Autumn 4-in-1 Crib and Changer Combo.
I was like, is he ordering child furniture while we're doing the podcast?
No. I put that motherfucker together this past weekend. And I have a grievance with the asshole that designed this because it came in a flat pack carton. You know, like IKEA does.
Yeah.
This carton had more styrofoam in it than the 70s. It was a fucking nightmare. It took us an hour to unbox the fucker. Mm-hmm. And that was the fun part. Because putting this piece of shit together, oh my God, they had bolts that were four different lengths for no reason at all. They had places where you could only turn an Allen wrench a quarter of a turn to get to it. And by the way, you had to reach underneath to do it and you couldn't see where it was going. Unfucking believable. Whoever designed this thing, and it looks nice. It really does. The picture looks really lovely. It looks nice in the room too. Whoever designed this should be just tortured by someone turning a bolt into their skull with an Allen wrench a quarter turn at a time.
I'm just going to say I'm going to give my wife a kiss when I get home because she forced me to get the IKEA one. I wanted to get one like that.
I would rather put together a dozen things from IKEA than another one of these. Holy shit.
Do the reviews talk about it at all? I want to see if the reviews
talk about
it. It's
only got 13 reviews. Now, my wife picked this out, and it is lovely. It looks great in the room.
They look great. That's why
I
wanted one.
It's got 3.5 stars. Oh, well, look at that. There's 4 1-star reviews for this. Let's see what they are. The draws don't completely close and the crib paint is chipping. That was another issue. There were a bunch of parts where the paint had already chipped off. We have to go get it color matched and get some touch-up paint. I had to get 3 replacements because the holes were not drilled correctly. They did not completely drill out the holes. The number of times that I pushed a bolt through and I couldn't get it to screw in and then pull it out to realize, oh, there were still shavings in there. Unfucking believable. The crib came with broken pieces. Okay, fine. Nothing was broken on ours. Changer doesn't come off. No, it doesn't. Why would you think it does? This is a stupid review. Idiot. Of course it doesn't come off. There's nothing about this that says it would. So, anyway, what a nightmare that is.
Wait, read the rest of hers. My son is 1 now and can pull open all the drawers, and he is teething and chewing on his crib, and it is impossible to find a cover to fit on the changer side.
It's true. The changer is not a regular size one. It's a mini one. We went to Bye-Bye Baby earlier today, and we were able to find one that fit, but the covers for them don't come in that mini size.
I like how she ends it. I wish you could take the changer off and just be a crib, period.
You can.
And then it says, oh, well.
But you can. You literally can do that if you want to. The crib can be a crib without it. Mm. It just won't look quite right because it's not designed to be that way. But put that side toward the wall.
Yeah.
You can solve that problem.
You solved it. Sounds like you solved it.
Loves to hear to hit the changer to hear it make noise. She's complaining about her kid more. Yeah. She is about to change.
Shit, man.
Your kid's an asshole, lady.
Oh, she does live in Knoxville.
So, yeah, that was a nightmare. All right. So, boy, see, we're almost 50 minutes into this show and we are so far behind. The Iowa caucus going on as we're recording the show. Results are delayed because of new rules and it's Iowa.
Lumberyard in Iowa.
So that's it. We had the impeachment trial last week. I'm not going to play Alan Dershowitz. Basically, if you missed it, he said if a president does something which he believes will help him get elected in the public interest, that cannot be the kind of quid pro quo that results in impeachment. You're missing the entire point, sir.
Jeffrey Epstein was his best friend. He got something on him.
Defended OJ. We have new video showing an indicted Giuliani associate with the Republican National Committee chief, Ronna McDaniel. Basically, she hugs Igor Fruman at a Trump event in Mar-a-Lago and says she's so glad he's there. By the way, there was also the almost hour-long tape that dropped last week.
There is going to – so the Republicans are going to vote to acquit him tomorrow, Wednesday. There's going to be so much shit that's going to come out between now and November.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Is it going to matter? To the people that support Donald Trump, is it going to matter at all?
I don't think it's going to matter to them. But what I think it is – what I'm hoping is going to do is that it's going to get other people – make sure that they vote.
Right.
And I keep saying this to Bernie bros and Bernie hoes online. Stop with the bullshit. I know you want your guy to win, but what you're going to do is you're going to drive a wedge and then people aren't going to turn out to vote for him. Not because of him, but because of you.
Well, that's stupid.
I know.
That's stupid. If you're like, I'm not going to vote for Bernie Sanders because the people who like him are a-holes, that you're just being stupid.
I know, but I do not underestimate
the power of stupidity
or the pettiness of white people.
So while we're getting political here, Trump made some announcements. He's talked a little bit about what his daughter has done.
Ivanka's been a champion for administrative and legislative actions to combat human trafficking, and a true heart. She has this issue has been so important to her. This and making sure people are ready to work. And she's now created over 15 million jobs for the people of our country. One of the reasons our unemployment numbers are the best ever.
By the way, the only problem with that is more than twice the number of jobs that have actually been created since he took office. So I don't know how she created twice as many as have been created.
Potential jobs. She's created over 15 million potential jobs.
Yeah.
The sweatshop jobs?
That's what they meant.
But those are in China. Right. Not in Florida, but this happened in New Mexico. A New Mexico man was arrested on a prostitution sting. He agreed to give an undercover cop a Chili's hamburger in return for sex.
Dude, this is the most fucking ridiculous shit I ever heard, all right? Oh, my God. Let's just keep going. Well, I don't want to defend this guy.
Dominic Calderon is a 36-year-old registered sex offender.
There you go.
Who was collared after riding his bicycle up to a female officer who was standing on an Albuquerque sidewalk after they agreed on $80 as the price for a sexual encounter. Calderon asked the undercover cop for a phone number, explaining that he did not get paid until Friday. Noticing that he was carrying a bag of food from Chili's, the vice cop asked what was inside. He replied it was a hamburger, prompting the undercover cop to propose a barter deal. I told Dominic that my fee could be a burger, the cop reported. When Calderon agreed to the swap, he was arrested for patronizing prostitutes.
This is so much fucking bullshit. I love my wife, but if some chick was like, hey, if you give me your hamburger, I'll have sex with you, I'd be like, yo, Chris, sorry. I'm just kidding. But just at the same time.
Isn't that dating?
I mean, exactly. It's fucking ridiculous. That's fucking ridiculous, man. Which burger was it?
Well, that's my question. So I called up the menu. Is it the Boss Burger, the Mushroom Swiss, the Queso? Maybe since it was New Mexico, maybe it was Alex's Santa Fe burger. Chef Alex is real, and so are his burger skills, stacked high with avocado, pepper jack, red onion, roasted jalapenos, tomatoes, pickles, cilantro, and a spicy Santa Fe sauce.
Nah, man, that sounds like a fucking no. Alex deserves to get fired.
If it were really New Mexico, it would be green chilies.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the old timer with cheese.
Mm. Mm-hmm. The Southern Smokehouse, the old-timer, Just Bacon Burger, old-timer.
Okay. Mouth. The Just Bacon Burger, let's talk about that for a second. It's in the description. Don't let the name fool you. This classic is layered with slices of bacon, cheddar, pickles, lettuce, red onion, tomato, and garlic aioli. By the way, chefs, take your garlic aioli and shove it up your ass.
Yeah.
No one's impressed with your aioli.
No.
Just call it fucking mayonnaise with garlic in it, you fucking assholes.
Right?
Fucking pretend.
No one's impressed.
It's fucking chilies. You're not fucking making aioli. You got fucking some best foods in the back that you add some fucking garlic salt to, and you're like, oh, I got a garlic aioli.
Yeah, where you go?
I mean, it's fucking serious. Like, I guarantee.
God damn it.
We should call Chris Emery because he used to work at Chili's. Ask him if their aioli is just some fucking best foods.
Well, if he worked long ago, there wouldn't. It was probably before there was the aioli.
Yeah.
They had burgers, but not necessarily any aioli.
I'm thinking it was just the bites.
Yeah.
The burger bites.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Okie dokie. There was a confrontation in Florida. There was a man named Ed who shows up and parks at a traffic circle in Florida near the Villages. And he has his golf cart decked out with signs saying things like Trump is a sexual predator and Trump is a bigot and racist.
Awesome.
Well,
yes.
There was one lady who wasn't okay with that, and she decided to roll up on him with her video camera going.
Sir, can I ask you a question? Hi. Why do you think that Donald Trump's a sexual predator?
He admitted to being a sexual predator.
He did?
Yeah.
When did he admit that?
Do you live in a cave, lady?
Oh man. Okay. There's a plus one there.
Okay, we're 20 seconds in.
I already love this dude.
Okay.
When did he admit that he was a sexual predator? Do you know what a predator is?
When he said he grabbed women by the pussy.
Oh, that's a predator?
Grabs women by the pussies and thinks that he has every
right
to do it.
Don't get in my face.
I'll get in your face. You will not get in my face.
Well, she got in his face, and he just stood up and got out of his golf cart, put down his very stable genius book to have a word with her.
I am dumb.
Oh, okay. I'm dumb.
You're dumb. You don't know.
Look at you. Look at you.
You don't even know he said that.
I know he said that.
You are stupid.
He said that to a guy on a hot mic. I'm not stupid.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
How many women have filed suit against him for grabbing
him? I have no idea. How many women filed suit against Bill Clinton?
Why are you defending Trump if you don't have no idea?
I will defend Trump till the day I die.
Well, you're a pig.
Well, what?
A pig.
A pig? I'm a pig. Okay, what's your name, sir?
None of your business.
Yeah, well, let's see. Ed. Ed and Mary, Penn State. Okay, because I'm going to send this to Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr.
Good.
And tell him that you're...
And tell Donald Trump to come down here. I want to punch him right in the nose.
You won't punch him
right in
the nose.
I want to punch him right
Would
in
you
the
really?
Nose.
Okay, well I'll tell him.
Tell him.
I'll tell him that you say he's a sexual predator.
He's a pig.
And that he's a bigot and a racist.
He's a bigot, a racist, and he's a pig.
Right? And that you sit out on the middle of the...
Here's the paper. They're going to take pictures. You want your picture?
Yeah. Take a picture of this guy.
He thinks I'm crazy.
I think that you shouldn't be able to say that about the President of the United States. That he's the President of the United States. Where are you guys from?
Where are you guys from? By the way, we have a right to criticize the President of the United States. That's right there in the old Constitution. It's under freedom of speech.
We don't believe in that, bro.
I'm just telling you.
You know, she's not responsible for that. She's been programmed by men to defend the man.
Fair
it's
point.
Misogyny. So she has no responsibility for what she just did.
Fair point. So we're not done with Ed yet. Of course, now people have started to threaten Ed.
All right. Cruising the square at the Villages with his golf cart, making a statement, saying the president's not truthful, including a number on his windshield, the number of alleged lies reported by a major newspaper. It stands out in.
It's not alleged lies.
It's the number of lies.
It's the number of lies cataloged by a newspaper. Alleged. Shut up, Wesh 2.
An area President Donald Trump carried with more than 60% of the vote last time.
But there are some people so far to the right that they think they can intimidate the Democrats. And they do a pretty good job of intimidating the Democrats.
He's had people react pro and con.
People go by and throw me thumbs up and other people give me the middle finger.
But this week it got more personal. A note on his door saying he needed to be careful if his family is important to him.
If anybody's got a problem with me, come to me. Don't go after my wife because she has nothing to do with this.
He still has removed Trump on the back of his cart and dumped Trump on his hat. But he made a deal to tone down the signs to be less insulting.
Thank you very much. I agree with you 100%.
While McGinty did have his supporters, a man who didn't wish to go on camera saw him drive his golf cart down the street, shook his head, and called him an agitator. Others commented on his message.
I see a lot of pro-Trump ones. They don't have negative things about the other parties.
I don't see anything wrong with it because people run around with the Trump signs.
And the note he got this week.
If you're going to talk to the guy, talk to the guy. Don't be a chump.
McGinty's wish?
I'm just hoping we can all get back together as a country. We need to do this. We need to get back together.
In the Villages, Dave McDaniel, Wesh 2 News.
So, yeah.
He's my hero.
Good job, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Ed.
Fighting the good fight.
Also in Florida, a domestic argument turned repulsive Friday evening when a Florida woman smeared dog feces in her fiancé's face.
Oh, that's... You're going to jail right there.
Whoa. Sheriff's deputies responding to a disturbance call at a St. Petersburg home spoke to a man who said he'd been engaged in an argument with his fiancée, Jane Marie Faulkner, who's 41. Now, during that confrontation, the man told cops that Faulkner repeatedly hit him and smeared dog feces in his face.
Yeah, what? Probably be in jail.
This will shock you. Faulkner, who was reportedly intoxicated, simultaneously admitted to deputies that they did smear dog feces in the face of the victim. Faulkner, cops added, was unwilling to provide any more details. She was arrested on domestic battery after deputies judged her to be a primary aggressor in the 9 p.m. confrontation. Released from the county jail late Saturday evening after posting $2,000 bond, judges ordered her to have no contact with the victim. She will also be outfitted with an ankle monitor that detects any alcohol usage.
Uh-oh. Oh, I had to wear one of those.
How was that?
It was kind of scary a little bit, you know, like, yeah, man, I actually blocked that out of my head. I just thought about it now. I haven't thought about that. And then I had one of those things in my car where I had to blow into it also. Good thing I stopped drinking.
Right. we like you better that way.
Oh, exactly.
Just saying.
And it's called a scram device.
Scram. I had a neighbor when I lived in Natomas, who I called Ankle Monitor Mike. he lived, you couldn't get to the apartment from where we were, but his balcony was next door to ours. And, yeah,
mm-hmm.
He couldn't go more than like 200 feet from his apartment. But he would randomly meet people at the front gate. Cause we're the building right near the front gate. I can't imagine what Ankle Monitor Mike was doing there.
Yeah, mine just tested whether I had alcohol in my
there you
system.
Go. Anyway, this not a Florida story, by the way. as he was getting a haircut at the Great Clips, a North Dakota man warned a stylist that he would kill her, quote, if you don't make me look beautiful, end quote.
Wow, bro.
Police say Michael McKenzie, who's 25, appeared to be drunk and had a bottle of Fireball in his back pocket when he showed up at the Bismarck Salon. They called Great Clips a salon.
Come on.
That was where he made his mistake.
While his hair was being cut, McKenzie allegedly made inappropriate comments to stylist Samantha Gunsch, who told cops McKenzie stated something to the effect, I'm going to kill you if you don't make me look beautiful. During the police interview, Gunsch, who's 24, recalled that McKenzie also told her he was going to look her up and come to her house if she doesn't cut his hair right. Fuck. You're a Great Clips, dude.
Yeah.
Mackenzie's comments left her so upset that her hands were shaking, which that's not going to lead to a good haircut.
No.
A probable cause affidavit notes that Gunch said she was in fear for her life due to Michael making these comments. Well, yeah. The Great Clips customer who overheard McKenzie's alleged threats while waiting for a haircut approached Michael and told him to leave. He was arrested and charged with felony terrorizing count. The Bismarck resident is being held on $2,500 cash bond. Cash bond.
Wow.
I mean, really, really unfortunate. All right. I don't have that in here, do I? No, I don't. I don't have. I'm sorry. I don't have the sex toy news.
Next week. Here.
Yeah, maybe. This is sort of borderline sex toy news. It is the your state's most popular fetish. And when I saw the map, I really understood.
What? What?
I really understood why.
Wow.
Lisa Murkowski voted to not have witnesses. The senator from Alaska, where the favorite fetish is fisting, as she fisted the Constitution.
Yeah, that's what she did.
Just saying. In California, it's wax play. Wait, is what? A favorite fetish.
All right, dripping some wax on some nips.
Or wherever.
Wherever. Dick tip.
Some of the odder ones, I mean, they're fetishes, so they're going to be odd to some people. New Hampshire, it's sounding. Are you guys familiar with sounding? Do you know what sounding is?
No idea.
Jason, do you know what sounding is? I looked it up, so I know what sounding is. It
has to be something like saying something like...
No, it has nothing to do with... Sound? No.
What is it?
Sounding is when you insert a rod, normally a metal rod, into your penis hole. And... yeah.
That's it?
No, there's more to it than that, but that's where I stopped.
That's all you.
That's all I wanted to know. That's all I needed to know.
I need to know now.
That's all I needed to know to know I didn't need to know anymore. In Georgia, it's hair fetish, whatever that is. Ironically, this is weird. In both Virginia and Pennsylvania, it's balloons. Okay. Balloons. Delaware and New Jersey, it's group sex.
Okay.
Okay. Right. In Massachusetts, it's nylons.
Okay.
I would not be happy to be a woman walking around in Massachusetts knowing that. In the great state of Kansas, it's sports gear. In the home of your Super Bowl champion Chiefs, used underwear.
Makes sense.
Also, that's also the favorite fetish in Oregon.
I'm not surprised by that.
My home state of Vermont, it's balloons too. Jesus Christ. I'm glad I left there.
North Carolina is suits. I can see that.
Suits. As is Tennessee.
Yes.
In Arkansas, it's voyeurism.
North Dakota, cuckolding.
Cuckolding, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, cuckolding. There's an interest. Okay. So if you go down to Montana, sadism, while underneath it is bondage. Colorado is masochism. Meanwhile, in Utah, just watching.
What's Idaho erotic electrostimulation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It would be putting like a TENS unit that they use for muscle.
Yeah. Stuff.
You put it on your balls, something like that.
Or your vag.
Yeah. Wherever.
That's sadism and bondage.
Well, it's not. It's not. It's different. It's more specialized. It's more specialized.
Makes you clinch.
By the way, the Iowa caucuses, ironically, it's group sex there. So that's really what's happening.
They're fucking.
In Wisconsin, and this is weird, sports gear.
Once again,
sports gear.
Hockey mask.
Co-pack go.
Football helmets.
In Kentucky, it's scene play. And if you go to, and these are where we're going to stop it right now, in both Nevada and Mike Pence's home state of Indiana, armpits.
Ew.
Armpits, the favorite fetish.
Have you ever met people that are into armpits?
Probably, but not that have declared it to
so
me.
So when I first started doing stuff at the Comedy Spot, there was this guy, Pete, that was in our sketch group. And he lived on this like group. Like this place that was like out near one of the parks out like in Rancho Cordova. It was kind of like a commune, like
sure.
Two or three houses and like there are freegans and stuff like that all lived out there in these houses. And there's these two friends of his that lived there. And I remember one day, like we were there to rehearse a scene or something for the sketch show we were doing. And, these two people just started smelling each other's armpits. And I was like, what the fuck's going on? He's like, oh, they're getting ready to have sex. I'm like, what? Like, but they were like going at it, smelling each other's armpits. I was like, oh my gosh, like that was
like, interesting.
Yeah,
pictures in Jason's life.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. You know what else is very interesting? The audio board has stopped recording, but the video camera is still recording, so we're good. But this is a very odd thing.
What?
So weird.
You have to cobble something together.
Well, it'll be cobbled together. Don't you worry.
Don't worry.
Don't you worry. We'll everything will be just fine and dandy. Trust me when I tell you that.
Trust me.
Trust me when I tell you that. There we go. That's
trust me.
That's trust that me. Problem. All right, let's get out of here.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
We go now to Grand Forks, North Dakota, where 8 years after her viral column, Marilyn Haggerty is back with another Olive Garden review.
Oh, all right. Oh, wow. It's about time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've been wondering. It was late on a quiet afternoon 8 years ago in February when I first visited the new Olive Garden in Grand Forks. Little did I dream my weekly review of a restaurant for the Herald would go viral. Little could I dream it would take me to New York City to visit the New York Times editorial staff. Little could I imagine I would end up three times with Anderson Cooper and with other national television shows, nor that I would be meeting with the late Anthony Bourdain. He published the book Grand Forks Dining with a History of American Dining in my 128 reviews. Little did I dream in the height of this viral experience, there would be television trucks from the Twin Cities and Chicago sitting in front of my house on Cottonwood Street. Now, for years, I'd been planning stops at the Olive Garden in Fargo on my way to and from Bismarck. I was delighted when the Olive Garden came to Grand Forks. So I went there, the first time, alone, late in the afternoon, following Bridge Club at the home of Donna Gillig. I sat at a table near the kitchen door. With a recommendation of my server, I ordered fettuccine Alfredo. With the strong memories, I went back this week to review the Olive Garden. I made the same order. Fettuccine Alfredo has 1,010 calories and is $12.99. The salad was nicely chilled, but since there were only two black olives to be found, I asked for more. My server of the late afternoon was a UND aviation student, and Olive Garden manager Ricky Ward told me later more than half of the 60 fuller part-time waiters attend UND. There's a friendly ambiance around the restaurant, and the Olive Garden attracts area people who shop in Grand Forks. This week, I met Glenn and Nancy Weber of Starkweather, North Dakota. They said they often stop at the Olive Garden. They were enjoying cheese ravioli and classic lasagna. The Olive Garden is nicely designed with three adjoining dining rooms. The fireplace in the center adds warmth and welcome. There's a lunch and dinner following. In between times, the restaurant attracts people throughout the day. Some come in with children after school. The menu features appetizers, homemade soup, pasta favorites. There are tastes of the Mediterranean, including salmon and shrimp, along with chicken, beef, and seafood entrees. That's right, the Olive Garden, 3160 32nd Avenue South. Telephone 746-2038. The manager is Ricky Ward. Open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. with 11 p.m. closing Friday and Saturday. It seats 298.
Holy shit!
With parking for 150 cars.
That is a fucking huge Olive Garden.
Here is your report card, Jason and Kareem.
No, let's see.
Exceptionally friendly, cheery greeting, and seating welcomes customers. Menu is uncluttered, brief, and easy to read. Quality of food is consistent.
That is the most like a report card that I think she's given in a long time. Those are all things that you would expect to hear in the citizenship portion of a grade schooler's.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's no letter grade, but that sounds like what I would hope to hear about my daughter getting, like, you know, in kindergarten.
Yes.
Hey, it's her second time.
Yeah.
All right.
Good job.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the WTH podcast. We hope you enjoyed me yelling like a maniac.
I did.
And all the other stuff that went with it.
Oh, man.
Back again next Wednesday with another fresh new episode for you because we like you. Until then, don't be an asshole. We would really appreciate that.
That'd be nice.
No matter which side of the fence you fall down on. And more fun next time. So have a great one. Bye.